This is the No Swear Gamer from YouTube and the Atari 7800 Game by Game podcast, and you are listening to the podcasting pride of the Smoky Mountains, the Two Dudes in a Ness, with your hosts, Dude Michael and Dude Justin.
Hey, Justin.
There we go.
That felt better. That did feel a lot better. And you know what? We're going to talk about Widget tonight on the Two Dudes and Ness podcast. And I might even do a little bit of editing and get rid of that other piece. And nobody will ever know we started over, except for now we've announced that we just started over.
But alluded to it. Right.
Yeah, anyways.
Don't edit it. Don't edit it.
Okay. All right.
I have a theory about Widget. First of all, did you ever watch Widget?
No. I'd never heard about Widget until just now.
I didn't even realize it was a television show cartoon until we started talking about this. But I think Widget is a knockoff from
Captain Planet?
Well, it's that too. But look up the character Figment at Disney World.
Figment?
Okay, look up Figment. Yeah.
Okay, I will look up Figment.
So we got Figment and Widget, and both are purple alien-like creatures. I think that Figment is a knockoff of both Figment from Disney World and Captain Planet.
Is Figment a Disney World only kind of thing? You have to go to Disney World to see Figment?
Yeah, he's the mascot of imagination.
Well, Figment's a dragon. He's a straight up dragon.
Figment, Widget, the names sound alike.
Okay, all right. Well, we might as well just throw Barney in the mix too, as long as we're doing it. If you want to say all purple Barney dragons sound are like the Widget. Same.
Maybe Barney's a dinosaur. Widget's an alien, though, right?
Yeah, Widget's an alien.
From, like, the Horsehair Galaxy or something.
The what? So, the Horsehair Galaxy?
Yeah, I don't know. He's from, like, the Horse something. I don't know.
Horse Nebula?
Something kind of gap. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Isn't that real, though? I think that's real.
What's that?
I think that's a real place.
It probably is. That's okay. It's still a lame. Horsehead Nebula.
Yeah. So wait.
Widget kind of looks like a character from Space Jam.
Yeah.
One of the Monstars. Before they turn into Monstars.
I'm sure we'll get into this in history a little bit. But when did Widget start? I feel like he's before all this stuff, isn't he?
1990.
Okay. So he's before the Monstars, at least.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Probably about 5 years. I think probably Space Jam came out in 94, 95. Here's the question. When did Captain Planet come out?
Oh, I think it was in the late 80s.
You think Captain Planet's ahead of that?
Yeah, I think Captain Planet came out before Widget.
Did you ever watch Captain Planet?
I was a pretty big Captain Planet fan. And I think we'll get to talk.
Oh my gosh.
Did you find something?
This is uncanny.
Okay.
Captain Planet and the Planeteers premiered 14 days before Widget appeared.
Oh, it's kind of like one of those what's the name of those two movies? Volcano and Inferno or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Came out like exactly the same time.
Yeah. So, Captain Planet came out September 15th, 1990, and Widget came out September 29th, 1990.
Saving the Planet was just in the subconscious of America. How about that?
Just in the ether. Yeah. It's in the ether. Do we have anybody saving the planet nowadays?
I don't know. Maybe Daniel Newton, since this was his Patreon pick?
No.
No. I don't know.
He's a real environmentalist, maybe?
Could be. No, I don't know. I don't know if there's any cartoons people say to play. I don't really watch cartoons anymore. You should know. You've got kids.
I haven't seen anything about Saving the Planet. Now, they do watch this show called Octonauts that is about teaching like creatures from the sea. Now, maybe okay. That's a little similar. I don't know.
Okay. Well,
good pod.
Well, maybe we should just talk about Widget instead. I do have a nice tangent for later, or we can do it now. Mm. Might as well save it for later, maybe for after the break. Yeah. But I think occasionally we like to talk about like health and fitness and things. And I got not anything revolutionary to talk about, but I just feel like it's been a while, and it's time to catch up. I'm having some weird things going on with my gut.
So, oh boy, that's good gut talk. Speaking of which, I've been listening. So I've listened to a couple
tangent
of interesting
alert.
Episodes. I've listened to a couple of interesting episodes of the Joe Rogan podcast here lately.
Uh-huh.
I listened to one episode where James Hetfield was on it. Okay, and he was on it like 2 years ago, like back when Hardwired just come out, right?
Okay, yeah.
And I just like came across the video on YouTube, so I watched it. And then I also listened to the most recent, I don't think it's the most recent now, but one of the recent Joe Rogan podcasts where he had Maynard James Keenan on it. And I'm listening to both of these podcasts, and it's like he's got these just, you know, titans of music, you know, big band names, and they don't talk about music like at all in any one of them.
I noticed. I did listen to the Maynard James Keenan one. I did notice that he talked about wine a lot.
Talked about
much
wine.
Everything
about
food.
Music. Yeah, and then James Hetfield. They talked about bees for a long time. They talked about bees. James Hetfield's apparently a beekeeper, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just funny because it was like two podcasts about two, you know, big name musicians. Neither one of them really talked about it.
Hey, you've heard breaking news. You've heard Tool's stuff's coming to streaming finally.
I know. He announced it on the Joe Rogan podcast. I mean, you know,
I called it too.
Kind of like
about a month ago. I said, when they drop this new album, they're also going to release all their past catalog on streaming services. Guaranteed.
I'm glad they're doing it, but in the other way, I've already got it uploaded to my iTunes, so it's like it's not really going to affect anything for me.
Yeah, it really doesn't do anything for me either, but
I am looking forward to the new album. I mean, it's only been 13 years since they had an album, so but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. It will be good for the people who use like Spotify or something, because you can't upload your own music to that.
Yeah, that's true.
So, anyways,
yeah,
that's a conversation for another day. Apple Music versus Spotify. Dig into.
It was kind of funny on the Joe Rogan podcast when he was announcing that they were coming to streaming on the podcast, and he was like, "They're coming to Napster."
And Joe Rogan said, "Well, last I heard, Tool's been on Napster for 20 years."
Yeah. So, anyway, that was pretty fine. All right, you want to talk about what we are supposed to talk about on this podcast?
I would love to talk about this game a little bit.
All right.
Now it's time for Justin's historical tidbits and trivia. Time to get out your D-pad notepads, because you're about to get schooled by the doctor.
He does so good at those little announcements.
It's perfect. It's really perfect.
So Widget, trademark, game brought to you, published by Atlas and developed by a company called Graphic Research. So Widget was a video game, obviously, that was released based on the cartoon series Widget the World Watcher, about the purple alien Widget who tries to save Earth. And the game pretty much follows a similar kind of storyline You play against five levels and, you know, try to save Earth from all these people who are trying to do bad things from them. Released in North America in 1992, it actually had a follow-up, a sequel, that came out for the SNES just in 1993. So it's like they almost like had the sequel designed and ready to go when the first one came out.
Yeah, could be.
Not a whole lot out there on this game as far as the history and stuff. I don't know that it was a big hit, but it did come out right around Christmas time in November 1992, so all the widget lovers could get this game for Christmas. And of course, the widget was created by the game, or by the American television producer Peter Keefe, who was best known for Voltron.
Oh.
Defender of the Universe.
Okay. That's something.
Also don't know what Voltron was.
You don't know what Voltron is?
He didn't have... Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure I do either, actually. Now that we're putting us on the spot, I'm not... Okay, all nerd cred just went out the window because I don't actually know what it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But apparently, Peter Keefe was known for his distinctive mustache and cowboy boots. I liked him already.
I do too. I like this guy.
But he's dead. He's dead. Died at 57.
Ooh, that's young. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, had a throat cancer.
Was he the quintessential Marlboro man with the cowboy boots, cowboy hat, and smokes?
Maybe he was. Throat cancer makes me think dipping too, you know?
Oh, that's true.
Or HPV. Don't want to go there. sorry. Let's see. What else?
There's not a lot of history.
Not a lot of history about this game. So, Peter Keefe died. There you go. Done.
That's great. Some good history.
ending on a good note here, right?
Yeah. They made a game about a TV show that some guy made, but he's dead now. So.
Yeah. So, anyway, you know, you just told me that you've never heard about Witched before. You talked about this podcast, but did you have this game when you were a kid?
Now it's time for the thrill of 8-bit discovery with Michael's quest to find the cart.
Funny you should ask that question. So let me tell you a little story. I was recycling. Had some plastic bottles that I was taking to the curb. When all of a sudden, a little purple guy walked up and said, "Good job, sir. He didn't say appreciate. He said appreciate. He said, "I appreciate what you're doing there." And I said, "Screw you, purple dude. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for the environment." And so he said, "You know what? I was going to give you this video game, but I'm going to give it to you by ripping the label off first, and then I'm going to give it to you. So you're not even going to know what game it is." And I said, "Touche, little purple man, touche." So then I put it, you know, I didn't put it in. I just kind of put it on the shelf until we decided to talk about this game. And lo and behold, it was a cartridge of Widget. No label, but, you know, turns out I just happened to stick it in. I thought, you know what? I'll stick this. It was a little purple dude, kind of looked like a widgety kind of guy. Surely, maybe he just gave me a copy of his own game. So there we go. That's how I got the Widget cartridge.
I also feel like Widget is a lazy name for a cartoon character.
Really?
Widget. I don't know.
I mean, it makes sense to me. Maybe not. He turns into a bunch of things. So it's kind of like he turns into a bunch of widgets.
I guess that's true.
I don't know. I'm kind of pulling at straws. Much like my story about the quest to find the cart. Pulling at the straws there.
Oh, man. Pulling at the straws.
Yeah.
Drawing straws, you mean?
No, maybe.
Pulling them.
I'm pulling. I don't care what the saying is. I'm pulling them. All right. We should probably just talk about the game then, because I truthfully know I do not have this game, and I never have had this game. I truly had never heard about it until we went to cover the game tonight or this past week or whatever. And mm-hmm. I didn't even know the cartoon existed for some reason. It doesn't even, like, I looked up the cartoon online and stuff, and none of it makes any, like, it doesn't ring any bells for me at all. So apparently I just totally riffed it.
Yeah. It rings no bells for me. Like, what was Widget on?
What channel, or, you know, what, who was the network that produced it? It wasn't Disney, obviously.
Yeah.
Was it like, I don't know. Probably like a Hanna-Barbera or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Voltron creator Peter and Voltron's apparently very popular. I don't know about that. It was directed by Tim Burton. I guess maybe that's Tim Burton's like lesser known brother.
Could be. So Widget.
It was the original network was USA Network.
Oh, that explains a lot.
Yeah.
I never watched USA. Really, it for sure anything. Does.
No. The only thing I remember watching on USA Network was, like, didn't they, like, show, like, baseball games sometimes?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, weren't they, like, played a lot of Braves games or something?
No, because that would have been Turner, right?
Maybe USA was owned by Turner.
That could be.
I don't know.
I feel like maybe I watched.
I'm pulling at straws.
Yeah. Now, I'm also wondering, though, did USA Network, I think they showed a lot of Unsolved Mysteries. Because I feel like I watched Unsolved Mysteries on there. Oh, I know what they showed a lot of. USA had it had one of the wrestling shows. I know it did. I don't remember which one, but I do remember it had a wrestling show of some kind.
Looks like it was owned by Ted Turner at some point. So,
okay, well, I think it had one of the WWF shows. It also had La Femme Nikita, which I I hated that show with a passion. I never understood that show.
Oh boy!
I just remember it coming on. It would come on, and I'd be flipping through the channels. And I tried to get past USA really quickly because USA sucked. But I never failed. Yeah. I would get stuck on La Femme Nikita. And I would think for a second, I'm like, ooh, what is this? And then I'd realize it's La Femme Nikita. And I'm, well, crap.
Well, here, you were correct about one thing. WWF Monday Night Raw started on the channel in January of 1993.
Yep. All right. I knew it.
They also had the game show Caesar's Challenge. Do you remember Caesar's Challenge?
I do not remember Caesar's Challenge.
I actually remember that being a pretty good game show. It was about about Caesar's Palace, and a lot of the games on the game show were like based on like casino games. It was pretty neat. But here's why USA sucks. They ran Saved by the Bell: The New Class, like the worst show ever.
Ooh.
Isn't that like, yeah, exactly. Ooh.
It kind of makes me sick. It's kind of making me sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hold on. I got a little bit of redemption for you. They did also have Kevin Sorbo's Hercules.
Ooh.
That was a USA Network show.
Also had the Jeff Foxworthy show. There you go.
Hey, Kevin Sorbo's Hercules was also terrible, though, by the way. That was a joke.
I don't even remember it. But yeah. All right.
Okay, that's enough of that USA Network tangent.
USA on the whole, not very good.
USA does not feel good on the whole. That's right. All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the game Widget for the NES. And we're back.
All right.
So,
and you know what? While we were on the break, I just thought of this. You know who actually hosted Caesar's Challenge?
No.
Ahmad Rashad.
Who's that?
You don't remember Ahmad Rashad? He was like an NBA guy back in the day.
It sounds like an NBA also, name for sure.
He was just like an announcer. I think he do you remember the show NBA Inside Stuff? It was like a Saturday morning show, and they showed it was like a kids show, but they showed NBA highlights.
I'm not really an NBA guy. But maybe if I saw his picture.
You'd know him if you saw him. You'd know him if you saw
I don't even think I know how to spell his name though. Ahmad Rashad.
Yeah, Ahmad Rashad. He was also the husband of Felicia Rashad.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. All right, then I totally know who it is now. All you had to do is tell me about Felicia Rashad in the Cosby Show.
Yep.
It says he was a wide receiver. I didn't think they had wide receivers on the NBA.
Well, I guess that's what he was as an actual athlete, but he was an announcer. Wait a minute. Yeah, I guess that's what he did before he became like an announcer.
Okay.
Broadcast, whatever. So.
Okay. All right. Felicia Rashad's husband.
Not Felicia Rashad's husband anymore, apparently. He's been married 5 times and divorced 4.
Oh.
So, yeah. So Felicia Rashad no longer Felicia Rashad.
What is she now?
Actually, she kept her name, Felicia Rashad, as a professional one. Man, this is great pod. People are just on the edge of their seats. Learning about Ahmad Rashad with us.
This is a learning podcast, okay? We like to learn.
Oh, he's been divorced 5 times. Oh, no.
What about Felicia? Is her name still Felicia Rashad?
No, she still goes by Felicia Rashad, actually.
This is this is worse than like People Magazine or something. Or no, this is like Star Magazine version of a podcast.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Widget.
All right. Widget. All right. Okay. So, what did you... You don't have any memories from your childhood, obviously. Neither do I.
No.
But we do have a manual.
You were sandbagging me there for a second. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I tried to trick you. If you look at the cover of the manual, why is there's a ton of widgets on the cover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some large, some not so large. I don't understand this.
He's somewhat flexing.
Yeah, he's flexing his muscles. He's got quite the booty on him, though. he's sticking
his
booty
out. My favorite part is the tail that has the W in it.
Oh, it is a W. Yeah, I was thinking it was like a lightning bolt, but no, you're right. It's a W.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right. So, also looking at the box art. Real quick, does he have he's got some kind of cool watch. It looks better than an Apple Watch.
Is it that Mr. Brain?
Yeah. He's coming out of his watch. So it's kind of like having Siri, but better.
Yeah. Don't you wish Siri would do that? Just like a little head that popped out? Actually,
no, please. That would be too. Yeah. She's already she's already sending our recordings off to be listened to, according to the latest news report. All I need is for it to also see everything I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy. All right.
Okay. So let me read the story to you. It's pretty short, pretty simple. On the purple planet, far from he and his mega brain unit, Will Earth. What? Far from he and his mega brain unit, Will Earth, lives Widget.
A little English, I guess. I don't know.
I'm a little bit confused on that one. Anyways, he is training. Wait. Oh, never mind. I read it wrong.
Oh, I see what's going on. Yeah, there's not. This is confusing.
Yeah, there's another. Yeah. This is the worst story ever. I mean, they have plenty of room down here to put the rest of it. Instead, they put it over to the right and make me think I'm supposed to be reading it.
What's going on here?
Okay, oh, sorry. Man. For anybody who's not following along at home,
they've turned it off for a long time ago.
Oh, that's true.
Rashad got them.
We're just talking to ourselves now. All right, so we're just talking. Since I'm talking to you, I know you're following along. Let me start over.
Right.
On the purple planet, far from Earth, lives Widget. He is training to become a first-class world watcher. Yeah, this is making a lot more sense now. The watchers are dedicated to protecting the safety and peace of all living creatures on Earth. One day, Widget accidentally launches himself in a ship headed for Earth. Once he lands, he and his Mega Brain unit will be fighting many nasty, dangerous enemies. So, okay, let me get this story straight. And I'm assuming this is the same story as the TV show. So Widget lives on the purple planet, which is far away from Earth. And all that he wants to do is be a world watcher. And the world watchers watch Earth. So there's a planet that's really far away. And all they do is watch Earth to make sure it's okay.
Infatuated with Earth.
Yeah. It's a bit strange, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and somehow he accidentally launches himself onto Earth.
Yeah. They didn't put a lot of thought into this, I don't think.
I don't think so. But that's okay. That's okay. Also, in the game, this is not laid out in the manual story, but in the game, basically your twin brother. What's his name? Is it Ratchet, I think is his name in the game? Yeah, anyways, your twin brother is doing all kinds of bad things to the Earth. I guess he's just like throwing out cigarette butts and dropping gum on the sidewalk and I don't know.
So the story in the manual is a little different than the story in the game, actually.
Yeah.
Because the story in the game, like the elders are sending him to Earth to like help, right?
Right.
But the story in the manual is just like, oh no, he just accidentally flings himself over there. So
yeah, the story in the game, he doesn't seem as much like a bumbling idiot as he does in the manual. Like in the manual, he just seems like a doofus accidentally sending himself to Earth and whatnot.
Yeah,
in the game, my favorite part, it doesn't quite seem that way.
Yeah, and this there's even a screenshot here where the elders are telling him, this is part of the, you know, the cutscene at the beginning of the game about, you know, needing to save Earth. Which is my favorite part of the game, when the elders call him by the wrong name. And he corrects them. This is kind of a funny little, like, I don't know if that's a homage to the show. Maybe that's something that happens a lot in the show. Maybe people call him by the wrong name. I don't know. But it was just kind of a strange little thing. You know, hey, we need you to go save Earth, Wimple. and then he like has to tell them, no, my name's Widget, actually. That was a little funny. So.
Yeah, I think that's, I agree. It is kind of funny. You know what I forgot? I forgot
what
to do this right here.
Time to dig in to some good old fashioned game discussion.
So we're just now digging into games. Yeah, let's talk about the game. Oh boy.
All right. I am
a master podcaster, you know this.
We're a little rusty tonight or whatever. Maybe we never had it. I don't know.
Oh, you know we never had it.
Yeah. So going into the manual, it tells you all the little like characters you can be. The Widget turns into, because that's kind of the base of the game, right? Is after you beat each level, you now have a upgrade, quote unquote, to a different kind of thing that you can morph into. And there's different ones, the Cannon widget, the Mouse widget, the Rockman widget. I don't know if you got Birdman widget and Dolphin widget. I don't know if you got all of them. But only one of them really seems to be worth anything.
Well, this is a good part. This is a good part of the show to kind of discuss what the game is, and then we can get into. I did actually get them all, surprisingly enough. This game was kind of difficult, but I did pretty well at it. But basically, the game is set up a little bit like Mega Man, in that you get to pick. Well, after the first level, you can pick whatever level you want. And then after you beat a level, you get a power, which is the ability to transform into a different version of Widget, like you were starting to discuss. You earn those different things by beating stages, and then you can shapeshift, and the shapeshifting costs like magic points, basically, to do, which is usually not a big deal. But this game really reminded me quite a bit. It's kind of Mega Man X in a way, because you get these transforming abilities, right? And then you can return to different levels and access parts of those levels that you couldn't access before with the new powers. So it's kind of got a little bit of a Metroidvania element, but not at all. It's not a Metroidvania at all, really. But it's got that element where you can use a power to access parts of the level that you couldn't access before, but you don't have to. I think you can get by without. I'm trying to remember. I think you can get by without ever having to do that, but it's more like bonus stuff.
And then the comparisons to Mega Man kind of stop there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you also you also have a little pea shooter, and that's your main weapon. It kind of stops somewhere in there.
Yeah,
I will say when I started playing this game, I'll tease it. When I started playing this game, I had a lot of high hopes because it has a lot of cool elements to it. And then I'm going to put a little ellipsis, ... and I'll finish that thought later after we discuss a little bit more about the game.
All right. So what do you think about the gameplay, kind of getting into it?
I thought it was slow.
Very slow.
I thought it was kind of frustrating.
It's painful. Painfully slow. Maybe I'm letting into kind of what I think about the game too much a little bit, but I just... It's just slow, and there's not a whole lot of action to it. I guess maybe there's enough action for the speed of the game, but I felt like it's just, I don't know. It was slow. Let's just say that.
Widget, he moves slow. The controls are kind of stiff. They didn't, for me, they did not feel super fluid. His pea shooter shoots at a pace that is not to my liking, we'll just say. Until you get right up on top of an enemy, then it kind of speeds up. Because I think, I don't know exactly, I didn't count it, but I think you have to wait until it hits something. You can only shoot so many peas at a time. And so as you get closer to enemies, you can shoot more because they're going away faster. Which is kind of something we'll talk about when we talk about some of the bosses and stuff, but it kind of makes the bosses really easy, a few of them, because if you run up on the boss, you can shoot him a whole bunch of times, and it really kind of makes it a little bit easy in the bosses. But the enemies in general, the enemies are just, they're kind of frustrating. Like some of the patterns they move make them hard to shoot. They've got the typical Mega Man style enemy where it like goes in its shell and you can't hurt it until it comes back out of its shell. But the controls weren't good enough for me to be able to really attack those enemies very well. So that just, like in Mega Man, those enemies pop up and you can kind of time your jump and shoot to where it works. But in this game,
this one had awkward timing.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't fluid, you know. It was like, I don't know. Just like you said, you know, when they go in their shell and then, or they go in the ground, like in the case of like the worm or something like that, they then you've got a time when they jump out with your shooter and your gun slow, and then it's like, it's just, that's what makes the game hard. But it's not hard, fun hard, I guess, what I'm trying to say, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. To me. If you played as, let's just use Mega Man as an example. If you played as Mega Man in this game, it would be a lot more fun. Like if you played around with the same physics and control of a Mega Man, if Widget controlled like that, this game would actually be quite a bit of fun, I would think. Because it's got
more of the bumbling idiot in the game.
Yeah, this game's got a lot of good things going for it. Like I really like the shape shifting mechanic. I like the fact that you can use those different shape shifting aspects to access different parts of the levels. I think that's really cool. Ultimately,
yeah, no, it's got a lot
of other games do the same thing better, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
Unfortunately, but. I don't think I let you talk about all the different, you may have mentioned, but all the different shape-shifting things you can do. You've got the cannon widget, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll let you do it.
Which doesn't really do much, right? So, I mean, you shoot a cannon, but then you're like, you can't really move.
Yeah, I didn't find that one very useful at all.
Yeah. So that's the first thing that you get. And then there's the mouse widget, which just kind of makes you smaller and able to like get into nooks and crannies, like we like to call them.
Mm-hmm. I use that one a few times to get into some of the secret areas.
Yeah. That's a decent one.
You combine that one with the next one here a few times.
The Rock Man?
Yep.
So what does Rockman actually do? I didn't get to Rockman.
Rockman will break rocks. It's like you can punch the blocks in the game.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are obviously blocking certain pathways. He can break those. If you can break those as the Rockman. And then so the way they combine together sometimes is like you'll break a rock that's in front of a pathway that you have to be small to get into. So you break a rock in front of a pathway that you then have to turn into the mouse to get into. So that's kind of the thing I'm talking about. This game has really cool elements like that, where you have to earn two different powers to access a part of this one level. You know what I mean? So you have to beat two other levels to access another part of this level over here. And I mean that's really cool game design. And level design,
right?
But yeah, anyways,
the execution is off.
It really makes me sad. If you can't tell, I'm getting kind of sad.
Yeah, I can tell. And then there's the Birdman widget, which actually looks like it's probably the most useful. You can just fly and shoot flames. So
yeah, it's pretty cool,
you know. And then the Dolphin widget,
you can swim.
I don't know about that one.
You can swim. They're all varying amounts of useful, with the exception of Cannon Widget, which is pretty useless.
Yeah. So. And then there's Mega Brain, which you can always use to kind of give you some clues. Did you find Mega Brain very useful?
Sort of, kind of, not really. I used him for the map on occasion.
Right,
but then the map really wasn't that useful. His advice, you can ask him for advice. His advice is pretty useless.
Yeah,
I found it to be pretty useless.
Yeah, I feel like that way in most games, like most games like this. I'll say, like when you have to ask somebody for advice, it's just pretty much useless.
Yeah.
I gotta probably figure this out myself.
Well, you know, there are other items you can pick up in the game. You can pick up hearts, and that keeps your health up. Duh. You can pick up little purple circle things, which is your magic points, which is what you use to transform. You can pick up a little gun, which will make your gun more powerful. You can pick up a little green star, which will make your gun shoot faster. There's lots of little things, you know. There's dollar signs that you can, I guess they're coins, and you can increase your score, power, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. This game, I mean, you know, that's the thing. This game is designed really well, actually. I have to give it to them. The things that you could do are very, I mean, it's very neat. It's just, it didn't get me going, you know?
Yeah, I didn't get the juices flowing.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a lot of secrets, a lot of hidden areas. And like I said, some things that you... Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Time out. I just got to like the fourth page from the bottom of the manual where it's talking about continues and passwords. By the way, this game has a password system. And we have... everybody needs to go look up this manual if you're still listening after the whole Felicia Rashad fiasco. And see the gangsta version of Widget and Mega Brain.
This is an interesting take. I don't know what this is, but it's funny.
It's a sight to see. I do wonder if that was in the cartoon show.
It's so random. It's just like all of a sudden, here he is rapping.
Yeah.
And a gold chain around Mega Brain's no neck.
The gold chain around a guy who has no neck. But, right. but it's there. It's there.
So yeah, that's interesting. They're rapping about the continue.
Yeah.
There's something I like about this game is they don't have very strenuous passwords. Just a few numbers.
Yeah, no strenuous passwords. No, like game over. You have to start all over again. You just continue from. Whatever you, all the levels you beat are still beat, and all that kind of, it's to be a somewhat frustrating, somewhat difficult game. It's really, they kind of make it easy on you to continue if you want to.
Yeah.
So I do like that. Okay. So that we're not just totally bashing this game the entire time, I would like to talk about the graphics and the music, because I have good things to say about those. What did you think about the graphics?
I actually like the graphics a lot. I always like these games that are based on cartoons, and in a way that's somewhat easy for the designers of the game, because they could just, you know, it's a cartoon they can base it on, and there's not a whole lot of imagination that goes into it. But there's a lot of different colors to the levels, and with the exception of like the first level, and I thought that the graphics, the sprites were well done. I really enjoyed the graphics.
Yeah, I'm totally in agreement with you. I think the game's super colorful, which you know me, I love the colors. When NES can sport a bunch of colors, so I appreciate the fact that it's super colorful. I think the levels are varied enough to where, you know, there's a lot of variability in the levels. I think the enemy designs are really cool. I think Widget looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. I think the animations are pretty good. I really don't have any complaints on the graphics. I think they're great.
Yeah.
What about?
Yep, me neither.
Me neither. You like that song? other than that, what about the music and the sound?
Music is good. I didn't really like love the music, but there's nothing I really dislike about it. I think it fits well with the game and the theme of the game and kind of the cartooniness of it. But not some of my favorites. How about you?
That's kind of how I feel. I think it fits the game perfectly, and I think that's all I really need out of it. I'm not going to be bumping down the street listening to this soundtrack or anything, but I didn't turn it off. So that's kind of my 3-point scale, right? Did I turn the music off and listen to something else? Did I listen to it while I play the game? Or do I listen to it outside of the game? You know, that's my three-tiered scale of how good is the music, and this one lands right in the middle. I didn't turn it off, but I didn't overly enjoy it. But it's good. It fits the action in the game. Everything seems to be on point there.
Right. All right.
I guess we can move on to our next little tidbit here. Not tidbits. Retrofitted trophies.
You know what this game needs? Some retrofitted trophies.
Okay.
All right. Hey, you got some? We got some from the bros on the BitBros site.
Oh, good. Let's pull up.
Yeah, I'll pull them up. You go. You got any? You want to go ahead and lead us off, or?
Yeah, I got.
Me to lead us off.
I'll lead us off. I got one called Cannon Fodder, and that is become the cannon or get the cannon power up.
Oh, all right. My first one is talk about stank, and that is get past Mega Slank.
Putting the stank on Mega Slank.
That's right.
I like
stank.
It. All right. So all right, we got one from the bros.
I'm still scrolling.
Okay. You can use the search. This is a good point to teach everybody. You can use the search function.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you search in this group, you should be able to find it pretty easily.
That's true.
People need to know that you can do that if you don't already. Bros out there. Go to Facebook and join the Bit Brothers Retro Gaming Community. And then once you're in there, search within that group for widget and you'll see retrofitted trophies and also other feedback.
All right. So the first one on the Bit Bros is from Jay Jorgensen, DJ. And to the Republic for widget stands. Be a nice. 6-year-old me and grossly misinterpret the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, sounds like a true story. Hey, before, I'm telling you, we are way off our game tonight. Okay. I don't know if it's me. I don't know if it's you. I don't know if it's a combination. I don't know if it's because we haven't recorded in a while. I don't know. But we forgot, is it worth it?
We did. Let's come back to it after retrofitted trophies. Let's just do it that way.
That works.
All right. You got another one?
I got one. No, I got one. It's called Echo. Do I hear an echo? And that is get the dolphin upgrade.
Ah. My next one is Summit the Peak, and that is get past Dr. Dante, as in Dante's Peak.
Ah, I like that.
All right. How about another one from the bros? We got Dan Basciglia with Good Decision, and that is play this game instead of Thundercade. I'm getting another one from Christopher Kellogg says this isn't Echo. Turn in the dolphin widget and learn all about Dr. John Lilly and his work involving drugs, dolphins, and an isolation chamber that eventually led to the Sega game Echo the Dolphin. Okay.
Okay. I think I'll have to go down that rabbit hole one day.
Maybe. That does sound interesting.
I've got another one.
Okay.
This isn't the Rockman I know, and that is get the Rockman upgrade and realize that you're not turning into Mega Man. And get a little sad.
Okay. How about take that, you stinking gypsy, and that is get past Flim Flam.
Okay. Is Flim Flam a gypsy?
Flim Flam is a gypsy term. Yep. It's like their term for pulling over things on people. Anyway.
Gotcha. Okay.
Christopher Kellogg with another one. Check out the big brain on Brad. While playing the game, ask Mega Brain for advice multiple times, then shoehorn quotes from Pulp Fiction into your conversations while playing the game.
I like it.
All right. How about Gabe Bangilder says, to widget or not to widget? Fidget around with the original NES cart, clean it, blow in the cart until you actually get it to work. Console only.
To widget or not to widget? Fidget. I like it. That's a lot of good alliteration you got going there, Gabe.
Yeah, I did. And Aaron Hickman rounds us out with widget spinner. Try this one weird trick with your friends. Before putting the cart in your console, sit in a semicircle with them and spin the cartridge as fast as possible. Whoever the cartridge lands on will be forced to play the game first.
Okay.
Don't think he liked it.
I guess not. I thought I was afraid he was going somewhere else with that.
Yeah. All right. You got any more?
No, I'm tapped. I'm cashed out.
Yeah, me too. Me too. All right. You want to do Is It Worth It Now?
I do.
All right. So, this game, not a cheap one.
Oh.
On pricecharting.com, its loose price is $44.85.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess it's I think the general consensus is if it's not very good but yet rare, then the price goes up. Because that means people didn't buy it when it came
out. Right. That's what I'm thinking. It came out late in the NES cycle because the sequel to this game came out just for the SNES. So the SNES was already out. This was, I would have to say, a lesser known television show because I felt like I was pretty adept at, you know, cartoons back in the day, and never even heard of it.
Yeah, I watched all kinds. I had not heard of this
either. So I can't imagine that it sold a lot of copies. I think there's probably, it's one of those that there's just not very many out there. So you're going to have to fork it out to get this one.
So I think I know your answer, but is this worth it to you?
Nah, it's just not worth it. I mean, not $45 worth it. It's a decent game. It's fun. It's demoable.
It's certainly demoable. It's worth it's worth your time, I would say, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But I could not put a recommendation to pay $45 for it.
Could you put a price on it if it wasn't $45?
I think it's a $10 game.
You do?
Yeah.
I even struggle with 10.
Yeah. I guess 10 would be top price.
Yeah, you know? Tim would be top price.
Oh, yeah?
10. Would 10.
You pay Tim for it?
I'd pay Tim. I'd pay him $10. I'd pay Tim $10. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, then I guess what we need to do is rate this game.
No game is worthy until the dudes have spoken. It's time for the game rating.
But before we rate the game, let's go ahead and rate it. Go ahead.
All right.
Change your mind.
Let's see. How are we going to rate this game?
How about something that's purple?
You know, you read my mind. That's exactly what I was about to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right, I got mine.
All right.
A grape.
Okay.
All right, because a grape, if somebody's got a grape, like got a bunch of grapes out, like I'll pop a few in my mouth. But it's not something that I would go to the store and say, I need to get some grapes. Like, My wife and kids, they love grapes. Me, I would never buy grapes if it wasn't for them.
What does your dog think about grapes?
Oh, yeah. My dog did eat raisins one time, which is even worse for them than grapes. And she, got really sick. She didn't die, though.
Yeah, they'll get sick.
But, yeah. So, I'm calling it a grape.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna go with the Lucifer Honeybird, hummingbird.
Never did you just pull that off? Where did you pull that off?
Well, I'm looking at pictures on allaboutbirds.com. Or no, I'm sorry, .org. I wouldn't, how dare I try to do, besmirch the good name of allaboutbirds.org with a .com on the end of it. How dare I put a .com on that?
Yeah, it's not a com. It's an organization.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, okay?
Wow.
Anyways, they teach you how to...
I went to a little school called Cornell. Ever heard of it?
Studied all about them birds. Did you know to identify a Lucifer hummingbird, you just look at its neck. It's purple. It's got a purple neck.
They're really pretty, actually.
They are. They're beautiful. Which is kind of like this game. It's a beautiful game. But much like the Lucifer hummingbird, I'd never heard of it. You know, and it's rare. I think they're in Mexico or something.
Hmm. Have I ever told you my hummingbird story where I actually got to hold one in my hand one time?
No, I need to hear this. Hold on.
So,
tangent alert.
Oh, yeah. So a few years ago, when we were living in Tazewell, one got stuck like in our garage and it couldn't get out. And it was just like flying around. We like couldn't like really shoo it out. And then it just got like exhausted. Mm-hmm. It just fell. And just collapsed basically on the ground. And I just walked over and I picked it up and it just let me pick it up. And I carried it outside. And once I got it outside, it flew off.
Wow.
It was just like, I need some help. And I looked it up and apparently hummingbirds, because their metabolism is so high, they have to eat like all the time.
Yeah.
Like they have to eat like every 15 minutes or they like get weak because their heart rate is so high. And I mean, obviously they expend a lot of energy flying because they flap constantly. But yeah, so apparently, and I'm assuming he just tired out. Like he just tired out really and hit the ground. And that's why he just let me pick him up. It was the craziest thing to feel a hummingbird in your hand. It's basically like holding nothing.
Yeah, I'm sure. They're like one of the lightest animals on the planet, aren't they?
Yeah, it was crazy. And I just picked him up and he just... let me pick him up, and I walked outside with him. And as soon as I got him outside, he flew off.
Did he say thank you or anything?
He did.
Okay, good.
That was the second bird that I saved, living in Tazewell. So the other bird that I saved, you know, the shepherd's hooks that hold like bird feeders.
Oh yeah,
people put in there.
Mm-hmm.
We had one that was two sided, so there was two hooks at the top, right? Well, that. Somehow this bird had got its leg stuck in between them and it was stuck and it was like, you know, flapping, going crazy. And I walked over and I grabbed it and got its little legs out of the little shepherd hook and then killed it and ate it. No, I let it go.
That's good. That's, you know, I love hummingbirds, and I would love to get a hummingbird feeder. I got to get rid of this hawk first. I've got a hawk that is,
oh, do you?
Yeah, it hangs around my house. It's kind of it kind of roams our neighborhood. I think it eats like the rabbits around because we get a lot of rabbits, and it'll just be sitting on my roof, just kind of hanging out. And I'm thinking, I'm thinking you're cool, Mr. Hawk, and everything, but I think you're scaring off all the nice birds.
You better watch out for Teeter. My mother-in-law had a hawk try to get her dog one time. It was a small dog. Yeah. I think
that is kind of scary. Teeter's about, she's not super small, and we're always with her. I can't imagine a hawk attacking Teeter while we're walking right beside her.
Birds are vicious, man. I was actually having this conversation the other day about birds. The only bird that's not mean... now, maybe hummingbirds, now that I think about it, but the only bird that I know that's like just docile and won't, it's not mean, is a duck.
But like, is a duck just really a bird?
Well, yeah.
It's kind of more like a fish.
Like a penguin.
Yeah.
But you know, like a goose, very mean.
Oh, yeah.
Emu, ostrich, there, you know those things are mean.
Yeah, they'll take you out.
Yeah.
I've got a nest in one of my dogwoods in the front yard. And every morning, well, assuming the hawk hasn't already nabbed the eggs, every morning they, like the mama and daddy bird, will get on each, like perch on each eave of my house, like on either side, like triangulating my position when I'm taking Tater out in the morning. And they're obviously, they're like, and they'll start squeaking and whatever noise birds make. Tweeting, I guess. Tweeting? Tweeping. Anyways. And they'll just be like making a bunch of noise. And I look up and I'm like, hey, I'm not going to get your, I'm not going to get your babies. We're just, I'm trying to take Teeter out to pee, but they're on us. You know, they're watching. Think we're going to get those eggs. On us like stank on Teeter's poo.
As much as I know you love eggs and I love eggs too, maybe they wouldn't be that bad. They're just small.
I'd be willing to try it.
Oh, man.
Okay. All right. So, what about the little bit of feedback?
Oh, it's time for D-Patter feedback, because when you're a D-Patter, you're a D-Patter for life.
All right, so on the Facebook Bit Brothers Brick Trip Gaming community, we have Jesse Clevavidel, who starts us off with, "I thought widgets on IMAX." Jay Jorgensen said, "The show was amazing, and I think I rented it once. Was I disappointed?" Shrug shoulders. Aaron Hickman says, "Atlas's finest game since Friday the 13th. Wink.
Hey, you know,
and Timmy Mac,
time out before we get to Timmy. I feel like Jay kind of sums up my thoughts on the game too. He says he thinks he rented it once. Was I disappointed? Question mark. Shrug. Right. I feel like two or three years from now, unless I listen back to this podcast, if somebody asked me, "What'd you think about Widget for the NES?" I'll just kind of be like, "I don't know. I don't really remember."
Yeah.
it's a little bit forgettable. I feel really bad too, because Daniel Newton requested this for Patreon, and I'm sure it's a game that he remembers from his childhood, and I'm sure it was great. Now, if I was a kid, I probably would have loved it, but looking back on it, it's just not. Sorry, Daniel, but you want us to be honest, right?
That's right. We can't love every game. So anyway, Timmy Mac says, "Loved the cartoon growing up, and even the sequel, Super Widget, on SNES. Only tried this via demo mode. I recall the game being broken. Not being able to play, make simple jumps and poor enemy placement. Maybe I'm wrong?"
No, you're not really all that wrong.
Timmy may be in our camp. And Mike Hall says, "What is this new devilry?"
I don't know.
All right. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, we do have a couple voicemails.
All right.
Might as well listen to those. And at your request, by the way, because you love it so much for some reason, I did not screen these.
Great. I'm so looking forward to this. I hope there's a car warranty call and a health insurance call and a couple of hangups.
Okay. Well, we're going to find out.
What is up? It is Jay-Z NES back again. You guys are talking about Widget this time. It's an Atlas game. Yeah. Widget, I don't know. I played it a little bit. It's all right. I think it was one of these games where I was more interested in the game, looking at it like I saw it in the NES collection. You know, I was collecting all the NES games or whatever, and I'm like, okay, so there's like this platformer made by Atlas. It's going to be awesome, right? And then it was kind of just, it's just all right, you know, from what I played. I only played a little bit of it, but it was just all right. But, you know, I mean, Atlas, it makes a pretty great game, you know. That's the real neat thing. But I thought, hey, it's an Atlas game. They're going to make a great game, but it was just all right. You know, this was their early days when they were making stuff like Friday the 13th, which is, you know, pretty controversial game. Everyone seems to hate it. I think it's all right, you know. For the like the first survival horror game sort of thing, not bad, you know, kind of thing. But I know you guys were like more negative on that one, and then like you have like Rockin' Cats, which is pretty good actually, and that's probably a better platformer by Atlus on the NES there. But yeah, you know, I love Atlus. You know, they make games like Persona 4, which is like one of my favorite games of all time. But just, you know, this one not as great, but it's something I would look into diving into again just to see if there's anything more there. So I'm interested to hear your guys' opinions and see if you got any farther than I did. So, but anyway, yeah, it's been JZNES saying keep it classic, and I'll see you guys in the next one. JZ out.
Thanks, JZ. It's a real
JZ
call.
JZ always with the epic calls.
All right, we got one more voicemail.
Sure's at prices you and your family can afford. Our nationwide PPO plans are currently accepting
enrollment. I love it.
For a hassle-free quote, press 8 to speak to a licensed insurance agent.
Hurry, someone press 8.
Or press 4 if you're not interested.
Okay. Who gave our number out to an insurance company? I want to know. Which one of you dudes did it? That's okay.
Slapper bags.
It probably was slapper bags. It's always slapper bags. Okay, so if you want to also give us a voicemail, just like the insurance company did, or like Jay-Z, that number is 775-7-RETRO-1 or 775-773-8761. There you go.
All right.
Now, I did promise a tangent about health and stuff, but we pretty much went our full hour plus-ish episode, unless you still want to talk about it. I want to talk about my gut for a second, because I may forget, because it may not be.
Yeah,
My gut may not be in the same shape next time we pod. If anybody's done, we're done. There's no more widget talk. If you don't want to hear about this, feel free to tune out. But Justin and I are going to talk for a few more minutes. My suspicion is this has something to do with the fact that I've been on antibiotics. But I was on antibiotics since about April for a while, you know, trying to get rid of this folliculitis in my head.
Mm-hmm.
It worked. But now I have like this intense craving for like fermented foods, like pickles and sauerkraut, and like it's weird.
Kimchi?
No, I don't know. I don't even know what kimchi is. But I've been drinking kombucha. Yeah. Like I've been drinking kombucha, and of course I've always done the apple cider vinegar thing. But like I want it. Like I even took. Tonight, I was, I had some like, pickled jalapenos in the fridge, and we finished off the pickled jalapeno part, and I just opened the jar and just started drinking the juice. It's weird though, because I've always liked pickled things. I'm not a big fan of pickles themselves, or at least I didn't used to be. But now all of a sudden it's like, I can't get enough of like fermented foods. And I feel like it has something to do with the fact that I was on those antibiotics for so long. I feel like maybe my body's trying to tell me we got to get this gut back in shape.
Yeah, man. It's actually interesting. So there's been studies that have estimated that it takes about 6 months to restore your gut bacteria after a standard course of antibiotics. So this is why we don't use antibiotics previously, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, people that have, there's likely consequences to antibiotics that we don't take into account because of you're killing all of your friendly bacteria, your friends that are supposed to help you.
I want to kill my friends.
These bacteria are not just responsible for battling the bad bacteria and keeping the bad bacteria at bay, but they help produce vitamins, like vitamin K is specifically mostly produced by bacteria in their guts, and all kinds of things. So, and our digestion relies on these. We're really, what's interesting is how humans, or not just humans, but any animal in the animal kingdom, is this kind of like biome of its own, like, ecosystem, you know?
Yeah, it is kind of freaky. Like, we think that we always like to think that we're, you know, one body, one soul, whatever, but we're really a whole lot of little things that are controlling that are controlling us, like millions of little things controlling
us. That have a huge impact on the way our life is. So yeah, it's pretty fascinating. So I'm a big believer in, like, probiotics and stuff like that. I think that's, you know, especially if you're taking antibiotics.
Yeah, I took probiotics with the antibiotics. They told me to do that. Helpful. So I mean, like, my gut never was screwed up. Like, I didn't have any stomach problems or any problems pulling Carl's or anything. But, you know, it's just weird that I stopped the antibiotics about a month ago, maybe. And now I'm all of a sudden craving all this fermented food.
Maybe the bacteria are looking for it.
Could be. I'm
telling you. They're in control.
They're like, we're back, baby, and we need that fermentation.
That's right. That's right. Maybe.
Okay. Well, anyways, that was my gut story. That didn't last as long as I thought it would.
I like it, though.
How's the world? How's your world with health? Are you healthy? You feeling good?
So far right now, my exercise regimen has really taken a hit this past couple months. Been on a busy schedule for June and July. So it's just frustrating because then you're like, I try to get up at, you know, 30 minutes earlier to work out and then I don't. And then I'm frustrated with myself. And then it's just a self-perpetuating cycle of, you know, I feel bad because I didn't work out and I feel worse because I didn't force myself to work out. So it's just a psychological.
Yeah. I totally understand. You get in these swings, right? And it's always easier when you're in the swing. It's like you feel better when you work out. And then when you don't work out, you kind of feel like crap. And then the next day you don't really want to work out. It's kind of weird the way that works. It's another one of those weird body things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like as I'm getting older, I don't know if this is true or not, but I feel like as I'm getting older, I don't know if I can feel it more or like I'm more in tune to what my body's doing. But like, even if I sleep like one less hour than I normally do or something, the next day I can tell a difference. Or like if I eat, like if I splurge a little bit on Sunday, I can feel it on Monday. Whereas 5-10 years ago, it usually didn't bother me to do things like that.
No, I agree. Yeah.
It's weird.
Very much so.
But you know what they say? As much working out as you want to do, you can't outrun your fork. So.
Is that the new character in the Toy Story movie?
Yeah. You can't outrun Forky.
That's right. All right.
Okay. Well, let's close this out.
All right. So you can find us on the Bit Brothers Retro Gaming Community on Facebook, Bit Bros on Twitter, and of course you can still find us on our website at twodudesinanest.com, nintendudes.com, and nesdudes.com. And you can always call us and leave us a voicemail, a real voicemail, at
775-7-RETRO-1, 775-773-8761.
All right. Until next time.
Also, shout out Fox Dude. Shout out We Dude.
Yep.
We Guy on YouTubes.
Bit Bros.
Bit Bros. Other words.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Bye. This podcast has been a Bit Brothers production, and this episode has been brought to you by our lovely Patreon donors. The following people have donated at the 32-bit tier or higher: Daniel Newton and Jared Adams. Thank you to both you bros. We really appreciate your support.